Robot control architecture, from action spaces to real-time systems. Introduction: the dance between actions and observations. When we think about robot control systems, we're really thinking about one of the most fundamental problems in robotics. How do we bridge the gap between what we want the robot to do and what the robot actually does? This seemingly simple question opens up a rich landscape of architectural decisions, mathematical frameworks, and engineering trade-offs that we'll explore in depth today. The core question we're investigating emerged from a real development session. How can we implement different action and observation spaces in the robot? Specifically, where we want to send twist commands for torso control but receive joint configuration feedback. The goal isn't just to make this work, it's to let the model learn the inverse kinematics mapping rather than implementing it manually. This is a beautiful example of letting machine learning do what it does best, learning complex mappings from data. But to understand why this matters and how to implement it effectively, we need to build our understanding from first principles. We'll explore the fundamental concepts of action and observation spaces, dive deep into the LeRobot framework architecture, analyze the Atlas system implementation, and then synthesize a comprehensive approach that addresses both the immediate technical challenge and the broader architectural implications. First principles: understanding action and observation spaces. Let's start by building a clear mental model of what action and observation spaces actually represent. In reinforcement learning and robotics, these spaces define the interface between an agent, whether that's a human operator, a trained model, or a control algorithm, and the physical robot system. The action space defines the format and range of commands that can be sent to the robot. Think of it as the vocabulary of control. It determines what kinds of instructions the system understands. In our case, we want to use twist commands, which represent desired velocities in six dimensions: linear velocities in X, Y, and Z directions, plus angular velocities around those same axes. This is a natural way for humans or high-level planners to think about motion: move forward at this speed while rotating at this rate. The observation space, on the other hand, defines the format and content of sensory data that comes back from the robot. This is how we perceive the current state of the system. In our scenario, we're receiving joint configuration data, the actual angles and positions of each joint in the robot's kinematic chain. Here's where it gets interesting. There's a fundamental mismatch between these two representations. We're commanding in Cartesian space, positions and orientations in the world, but observing in joint space, the internal configuration of the robot's mechanical structure. This mismatch isn't accidental. It reflects the natural way different parts of a robot control system want to interface with the world. Traditional robotics approaches would solve this with inverse kinematics, mathematical algorithms that compute the joint angles needed to achieve a desired end effector pose. But there's a more elegant approach. Let the model learn this mapping directly from demonstration data. This is the essence of what we're trying to achieve. The inverse kinematics challenge: why learning beats computing. To understand why learning inverse kinematics is often superior to computing it, we need to appreciate the complexity and limitations of traditional IK approaches. Classical inverse kinematics involves solving a system of nonlinear equations to determine joint angles that achieve a desired end effector position and orientation. For most robot configurations, this is computationally expensive and may have multiple solutions, or no solutions at all for certain desired poses. Moreover, analytical IK solutions are robot-specific. Each time you change the kinematic structure, you need to rederive the mathematical relationships. The solutions often don't handle joint limits, collision avoidance, or dynamic constraints gracefully. They're also brittle. Small changes in the robot's configuration or unexpected mechanical wear can cause the computed solutions to drift from reality. Learning-based approaches flip this paradigm. Instead of hand-coding the mathematical relationships, we collect demonstration data where human operators naturally navigate the action-observation space mismatch. When a human teleoperates a robot, they intuitively perform the coordinate transformations in their head, guided by visual feedback and task requirements. By recording these demonstrations, twist commands paired with resulting joint configurations, We create a data set that implicitly contains the inverse kinematics mapping, along with all the practical constraints and preferences that human operators naturally incorporate. This approach has several compelling advantages. First, it automatically handles robot-specific quirks and mechanical constraints that are difficult to model analytically. Second, it can learn task-specific preferences. Perhaps certain configurations are preferred for stability or workspace reasons. Third, it's more robust to mechanical changes over time, as the learned mapping can adapt through continued data collection. Le Robot Framework Architecture, the foundation for learning. Le Robot represents a significant evolution in how we think about robot learning frameworks. At its core, Le Robot is designed around the principle that robot learning should be as straightforward as training any other machine learning model, while still handling the unique challenges that robotics presents. The framework's approach to action and observation spaces is particularly elegant. Instead of forcing all robots to conform to a single interface, Le Robot provides a flexible configuration system that allows you to define arbitrary input and output spaces, then handles the data pipeline automatically. This means you can specify that your actions are twist commands while your observations are joint states, and the framework will ensure that data flows correctly through the entire pipeline, from data collection through model training to deployment. The key insight behind Le Robot's design is that the learning algorithm shouldn't need to know about the specific details of action and observation spaces. Whether you're dealing with joint angles, Cartesian positions, images, or force measurements, the underlying learning process is fundamentally the same. Learn a mapping from observations to actions that reproduces demonstrated behavior. This abstraction is powerful because it separates concerns cleanly. The robot-specific interface code handles the conversion between the framework's internal representations and the actual hardware commands and sensor readings. The learning algorithms operate on standardized data formats. The training pipeline can optimize models without needing to understand the physical meaning of the data. Atlas System Architecture, real-world implementation patterns. The Atlas System provides a fascinating case study in how these abstract concepts translate to real-world robot control systems. From analyzing the development session notes and system structure, several key architectural patterns emerge that are worth understanding in depth. The first pattern is the stateless front-end architecture. This design choice has profound implications for system reliability and debugging. In a stateless system, the front-end maintains no persistent information about the robot's state or the current operation mode. Instead, all necessary context is transmitted with each interaction. This might seem inefficient at first glance, but it eliminates entire categories of synchronization bugs and makes the system much more resilient to network interruptions or component restarts. Consider what happens when a traditional stateful system loses connection and reconnects. The front end might think the robot is in one mode, while the back end has moved to a different state. Reconciling these inconsistencies is complex and error-prone. The stateless approach eliminates this problem entirely. Each message carries its own context, so there's never any ambiguity about what the system should do. The second key pattern is the proxy-based communication architecture. Rather than having components communicate directly with the robot hardware, Atlas uses proxy objects that handle the translation between high-level commands and low-level robot protocols. This provides several benefits. It isolates the high-level control logic from hardware-specific details, enables easy testing with simulated robots, and provides a natural point for logging and monitoring. The proxy pattern also enables elegant handling of the action observation space mismatch we discussed earlier. The proxy can receive twist commands from the high-level control system while translating them into appropriate joint-level commands for the hardware. Similarly, it can receive joint state information from the hardware and expose it in whatever format the high-level system expects. Torso control, a deep dive into implementation challenges. The torso control implementation in Atlas provides an excellent concrete example of how these architectural patterns play out in practice. The development session notes reveal several interesting challenges and solutions that illustrate broader principles. The initial approach attempted to use direct joy command mapping, essentially treating the torso like any other robot joint and sending position or velocity commands directly. This failed, and the solution was to use the motion target slash target speed torso topic instead. This seemingly simple change reveals something important about the system architecture. The motion target approach suggests that Atlas implements a motion planning layer that sits between high-level commands and low-level actuator control. Instead of directly commanding joint velocities, the system accepts motion targets and then computes appropriate trajectories to achieve those targets while respecting constraints like joint limits, maximum accelerations, and collision avoidance. This is actually a much more sophisticated approach than direct joint control, but it also introduces complexity. The high-level control system now needs to understand the motion planner's interface and coordinate frame assumptions. The motion planner needs to understand the robot's current state and constraints. And there needs to be appropriate feedback to close the loop. The development notes mention that the slash motion control slash control torso topic appears non-functional with no feedback. This suggests a common problem in complex robot systems: interface versioning and deprecation. As systems evolve, older interfaces may become deprecated but remain in the code base for backwards compatibility. New development should use the newer interfaces, but documentation may not always be clear about which is which. Episode recording and performance optimization. The performance issues mentioned in the development session reveal important insights about real-time robotic systems. The initial problem was that episode saving was taking excessive time, causing performance degradation during data collection. The solution, completely removing PNG writing, illustrates a classic trade-off in robotics between data richness and real-time performance. In robotics applications, timing is critical. A delay in processing sensor data or sending control commands can lead to unstable behavior or even dangerous situations. This creates a hierarchy of priorities. Real-time control loops must always take precedence over data logging, visualization, or other non-critical functions. The PNG writing issue is particularly interesting because it reveals how seemingly innocuous features can become performance bottlenecks. Images are large data objects, and writing them to disk involves several expensive operations: memory allocation for image buffers, compression algorithms for PNG encoding, and file system I/O operations. Each of these can introduce latency spikes that interfere with real-time control. The solution, eliminating PNG writing entirely, is pragmatic, but also suggests opportunities for more sophisticated approaches. Modern robotic systems often implement multi-tiered data logging, where critical control data is always recorded in real time, while expensive operations like image compression happen in background threads or are offloaded to separate processes. Queue-based message passing and async patterns. The Atlas system's use of queue-based message passing represents a fundamental architectural choice that influences the entire system's behavior. Queues provide temporal decoupling between components. A message producer doesn't need to wait for the consumer to be ready, and consumers can process messages at their own rate. This pattern is particularly important in robotics, where different components operate at different frequencies. Sensor readings might come in at 100 Hz, while control commands are sent at 1000 Hz, and user interface updates happen at 30 Hz. Queue-based systems can naturally handle these different rates without complex synchronization logic. However, queues also introduce latency and can hide timing problems. If a queue fills up because the consumer can't keep up with the producer, the system might continue operating but with increasing delays. In real-time robotics applications, it's often better for operations to fail fast when timing constraints can't be met, rather than continue with degraded performance. The development session mentions investigating publisher name conflicts that might be affecting JOI command mapping. This suggests that the Atlas system uses topic-based communication, likely through ROS or a similar PubSub messaging framework. Publisher name conflicts are a common source of subtle bugs in these systems because the symptoms, commands being ignored or routed incorrectly, can be difficult to trace back to the underlying naming issue. Learning-based IK implementation strategy. Now let's synthesize our understanding into a concrete strategy for implementing different action and observation spaces in the Atlas system. The approach needs to handle the immediate technical requirements while setting up a foundation for more sophisticated learning-based control. The first step is to establish clear interface boundaries. We need to define exactly what constitutes a twist command in our system, what coordinate frame it's expressed in, what units are used, and what the expected range of values is. Similarly, we need to define the joint configuration observation format, which joints are included, what order they're in, and what additional metadata, like timestamps or quality indicators, is provided. These interface definitions become the contract between the learning system and the robot control system. They should be designed to remain stable even as the underlying implementation evolves. This is where the proxy pattern mentioned earlier becomes crucial. The proxy can handle the translation between the stable external interface and whatever internal formats the robot hardware requires. The second step is to implement the data collection pipeline. This involves instrumenting the existing teleoperation system to record paired action observation examples. Every time a human operator sends a twist command, we record both the command and the resulting joint configuration. The key insight is that we don't need to record the immediate joint configuration. We need to record the configuration after the robot has had time to execute the command and reach a steady state. This temporal aspect is crucial and often overlooked. The relationship between actions and observations in robotics isn't instantaneous. There are always delays due to communication latency, actuator dynamics, and mechanical inertia. The learning system needs to understand these delays to learn the correct mapping. This might involve recording sequences rather than individual action-observation pairs, allowing the model to learn about the temporal dynamics as well as the spatial mapping. The third step is to train the inverse kinematics model. This is where LeRobot's abstraction really shines. Once we have the data in the correct format, training becomes a standard supervised learning problem. We can experiment with different model architectures, from simple feedforward networks to more sophisticated sequence models, without changing any of the robot control code. Real-time control loop integration. Integrating learned models into real-time control loops introduces additional challenges that pure machine learning systems don't face. The learned IK model needs to produce outputs within strict timing constraints while maintaining high accuracy and handling edge cases gracefully. One approach is to implement the learned model as a separate service that accepts twist commands and returns joint configurations. This service can be optimized for low latency using techniques like model quantization, batch processing for multiple requests, and pre-computed lookup tables for common cases. The main control loop then treats this service as a black box IK solver. However, this approach has limitations. If the IK service fails or becomes overloaded, the entire robot system becomes non-functional. A more robust approach is to implement a hybrid system that combines learned and traditional IK approaches. The learned model handles the common cases with better performance and more natural behavior, while a traditional IK solver provides a fallback for edge cases or when the learned model is unavailable. This hybrid approach also enables continuous learning. As the robot operates, the system can continuously collect new action observation pairs and update the learned model. Traditional IK can handle novel situations while the learned model gradually expands its coverage of the operating space. System health monitoring and observability. The development session mentions a proposed system health monitor using a singleton pattern, similar to how logging is typically implemented. This is an excellent example of a cross-cutting concern that affects every part of the system, but shouldn't be tightly coupled to any specific component. System health monitoring in robotics goes beyond traditional software metrics. We need to track not just CPU usage and memory consumption, but also control loop timing, communication latency, sensor data quality, and actuator performance. The challenge is collecting this information without impacting the real-time performance that's critical for robot operation. A well-designed health monitoring system acts as the nervous system for the robot, providing early warning of problems before they cause system failures. For example, if the learned IK model starts producing outputs with higher uncertainty, this might indicate that the robot is operating in a part of its workspace where training data was sparse. The monitoring system can detect this pattern and recommend additional data collection in those regions. The singleton pattern mentioned in the development session is particularly appropriate for monitoring because it ensures that all components report to the same monitoring instance, enabling correlation of metrics across different parts of the system. However, the implementation needs to be careful to avoid creating performance bottlenecks. Monitoring should never interfere with real-time control operations. Error handling and recovery patterns. Robust robotic systems require sophisticated error handling that goes beyond traditional software fault tolerance. When a software component fails in a robotic system, the consequences can include physical damage to the robot or its environment. So error handling strategies need to be both comprehensive and conservative. The development session notes several examples of error conditions that required investigation and resolution. Docker container synchronization issues, foxglove integration problems, and robot communication failures. Each of these represents a different category of fault that requires different handling strategies. Container synchronization issues are typically development time problems that don't affect deployed systems, but they can significantly slow development velocity. The key insight is that these problems often stem from implicit assumptions about file system behavior or process lifecycle management. Robust development environments should make these assumptions explicit and provide clear diagnostics when they're violated. Communication failures, on the other hand, are runtime issues that any production robotic system must handle gracefully. The mention of the robot not responding to commands after a power cycle illustrates the importance of connection state management. Robust systems implement heartbeat protocols, connection recovery logic, and graceful degradation when communication is intermittent. Performance optimization in real-time systems. The episode recording performance issues mentioned in the development session highlight fundamental tensions in real-time robotic systems. These systems must simultaneously satisfy hard timing constraints for control loops while also performing computationally expensive tasks like data logging, visualization, and network communication. The solution of removing PNG writing entirely is pragmatic, but illustrates a broader principle. In real-time systems, every operation must justify its impact on timing. This doesn't mean avoiding expensive operations entirely, but rather ensuring that they don't interfere with critical functions. Modern approaches to this problem often involve sophisticated scheduling and resource management. Critical control operations run in high-priority real-time threads with guaranteed CPU time and memory allocation. Less critical operations run in background threads with lower priority and can be preempted when necessary. The key insight is that performance optimization in robotics isn't just about making things faster, it's about making timing predictable. A system that usually responds in 1 millisecond, but occasionally takes 100 milliseconds, is often worse than a system that consistently takes 5 milliseconds. Predictable timing enables better control algorithms and more reliable system behavior. Integration patterns and future directions. Looking at the broader pattern of robot control system evolution, several trends emerge that are relevant to our action observation space implementation strategy. The first is the increasing sophistication of robot middleware that handles the complex interactions between different system components. Systems like RAW-S2 provide advanced features like quality of service management, security frameworks, and distributed system coordination. These capabilities enable more sophisticated architectures where learning-based components can be seamlessly integrated with traditional control systems. The second trend is the growing importance of sim-to-real transfer in robot learning. The ability to train models in simulation and deploy them on real hardware dramatically accelerates development cycles and reduces the cost of data collection. This has implications for our action observation space design. Interfaces that work well in both simulated and real environments become increasingly valuable. The third trend is the emergence of foundation models for robotics. Large-scale models trained on diverse robotics data that can be adapted to specific tasks and robot platforms. These models often work best when the action and observation spaces match common conventions used in the training data, creating incentives for standardization. Conclusion: building bridges between worlds. The question of implementing different action and observation spaces in LaRobot ultimately reflects a deeper challenge in robotics. How do we build systems that can bridge the gap between human intentions and robot capabilities? The answer isn't just technical. It requires careful consideration of architecture, performance, reliability, and maintainability. The approach we've outlined, using learned mappings to handle action observation space mismatches, represents a fundamental shift from traditional robotics approaches. Instead of trying to analytically solve every coordination problem, we're leveraging the power of machine learning to learn these mappings from demonstration data. This approach is more flexible, more robust, and ultimately more scalable than traditional methods. The Atlas system provides an excellent foundation for this approach, with its stateless architecture, proxy-based communication patterns, and sophisticated real-time control capabilities. The challenges encountered during development, from performance optimization to error handling, illustrate the complexity of building robust robotic systems, but also demonstrate that these challenges can be systematically addressed. The key insight that emerges from this analysis is that successful robotic systems require careful attention to the boundaries between different system components. The interfaces between action and observation spaces, between high-level planning and low-level control, between learning algorithms and real-time systems, these boundaries define the system architecture and determine its overall capabilities. By designing these interfaces thoughtfully and implementing them robustly, we can build systems that combine the flexibility of machine learning with the reliability requirements of real-world robotics. The future of robot control lies not in choosing between analytical and learning-based approaches, but in combining them synergistically to create systems that are both intelligent and dependable. This integration of learned and traditional control represents the next evolution in robotics. Systems that can learn from experience while maintaining the safety and predictability that real-world deployment requires. The implementation strategy we've discussed provides a roadmap for achieving this integration while maintaining the architectural principles that make complex systems maintainable and extensible.